Yeah, we're in our very last preach on hearing God, or created to hear God. It's the final one today. So we started in January, a long time ago now, with no plan. apart from the last year's events and challenges that we'd had, both individually and as a church, left us with this deep hunger, or certainly left me with this deep hunger to hear his voice and a desire to grow in hearing him. And also we had Jeremiah 29, seek me and you will find me. We had that word with the leadership changes in March. Those were the two things, an invitation to seek him and to hear him. And we started out the series on hearing God. And I want to say, God has blessed us amazingly with some incredible words in the last 3 months. Sometimes you have to pinch yourself a little bit and think about it. We've had Stuart giving a personal testimony on hearing God and discerning his voice. It's just stunning. It's well worth going back to listen to again and again. Guy Pembroke came and he talked about hearing God through the word. Don McMillan was here, hearing God in the intimacy, in the moments of silence and listening to him. Craig spoke about hearing God in the community and listening carefully. Tom and Tim covered 1 Samuel and Eli. And even last week, and I've missed somebody out here, I'm sure. Even last week, we had Matt talking about hearing God through in guidance. And it was just the richness and the depth and the quality has been outstanding. Please go back and listen to them on the website. There's some incredibly strong and deep and exciting and helpful words there. But also in Hubs, we've been doing Created to Hear God course, answering questions like, does it matter to hear God or not? What can I do differently? The truth about how God is speaking to us all the time, but also looking at how we are wired, uniquely wired, and often hear God in a certain way. So we've been looking at being knowers, feelers and sensors, hearers and seers, and also how to grow and mature in these, at the same time becoming aware of others hear God in a different way. It's not all the same. And so we're less dismissive of what other people are hearing and how they hear. I just love what Adrian was saying on Friday. He was saying how he may have missed God speaking to him. He was in such humility. He just said, I've heard God this way all my life. And maybe he was speaking at times through another way to me. And he was just honestly sharing. It's been wonderful. But all this that we've been doing, all of it is based on the unique, wonderful and powerful truth that as a Christian, we can hear his voice. My sheep know my voice. It is such a gift. It is a wonderful, unique, powerful gift. And if you think about it a bit, it is the one thing, there was many things, but there was this one thing that stands out that makes us different to any other religion, is we don't just know principles and statements, but we can hear God himself speaking into our lives. I never want us to lose that absolutely stunning fact. As Mark was saying today, you know, our scribbles and everything like that. But if you think about it, why would the God of the universe speak to us? I mean, we should be sometimes saying to ourselves, what is going on here? And it says in Psalm 8, why are you mindful of me? Why? Is the question we should have. It is a unique and wonderful gift. As an aside, It's interesting that Satan replicates this. Satan replicates and counterfeits real Christianity. Says it in the Bible many times. You can see it when he says about the angel of light. You know, the scripture, he appears like an angel of light. There's the hint. And Paul talks about false Christs frequently. It's interesting, in our UK crime history, our UK crime history, in the last 30 years, some of the worst murders and murderers have claimed that they heard God. Yorkshire Ripper. It's interesting, isn't it, how that incredible, unique thing, there's an attempt for the enemy to reproduce and counterfeit and create confusion. No wonder Satan tries to counterfeit it. My story, hearing God for the first time very clearly, was at university. And I went to a meeting in the west of Newcastle, and I heard God speak to me. He just spoke to me very clearly, and he said, Julian, he said, I'm going to fill you with the Spirit today. I was like, whoa, that's a bit of a... I mean, I couldn't quite get that, because it was like, how, what? And then he gave me a picture of four people praying. I was like, oh, right. Anyway, I didn't think any more of it, but I knew God had said something to me. So I went home after the meeting, and I said to God, if you are really speaking to me, you need to arrange this, because I'm not going to sort this out. I waited, and we always went back to the hall of residence, and we disappeared in off to have coffee in different rooms. And guess what? I ended up in a room with four people. And so I said, would just like to say, could you pray for me? I want to be filled with the Spirit. And I was wonderfully filled with the Spirit. And God spoke to me straight there. He gave me a picture of the cross, and he spoke to me. And he gave me a word. And I felt words came. And I suddenly thought, oh gosh, I can really hear God. I can hear him. And I can only describe that it wasn't that prior to that, I didn't hear God. But there was a clarity that came in that moment. It was like the East Coast and the West Coast of Scotland, right? So it was like before then, I was on the East Coast, the sea. You know, when you look at the North Sea on the East Coast, it doesn't matter how blue it is. When you have a look at it, it's a bit mucky, isn't it? You can't quite see through it. It's, you know, look off the side of the Tay and further down near the sea. It's all a bit mucky. And that's the North Sea. But go to the west coast. Go to the west coast of Scotland. And you stand on the beach and you see that amazing white beach. And then you see it going under the water. And you can see deep down into the water. You can see seaweed. You can see rocks and everything. It's so clear. It's crystal clear. That's what it was like. How are you doing with this gift? Have you fully opened it yet? You know, Francis and I are very different. The longer I get married, the more I'm married, I realise how different we were. And gosh, we've had to learn a lot. Well, one of the big things about me is when I receive a present, okay, a birthday or Christmas, or even, should I say, Amazon or something through the letterbox, you know, a box with something in it. I just put it to one side. I just go, oh, yeah, I'll do that later. Even on my birthday, I'm like, oh, yeah, well, and Francis goes, when are you going to open your presents? Oh, I'll do it at lunchtime. And then lunchtime comes and goes, and I don't open the presents. And so she says, when are you going to open your presents? Oh, I'll do it at tea time. And she's like foaming at the mouth, open your presents. And I'm just like, nah, I'll just do it when I want. And eventually I do open it. Have you fully opened this? Do you know it's your right as a Christian to hear his voice? A right? Whoa, what's happening there, Julian? It says in John, But to all who believe him and accept him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with physical birth, resulting from human action or plan, but the birth that comes from God. It's our right to hear him. Wow. So what stops us? Well, do you know, the more I look into this, it's not necessarily theology. Sometimes it is. Rarely, sometimes people don't understand that this is what it is and God has given us as you become a Christian. And sometimes people will say, oh, it's a lack of time. I don't think it is at all. I think you can hear God in a moment. You can hear God after 7 hours of prayer. It doesn't matter. And I love the tools we've been looking at, and I'm absolutely fantastic and really powerful and helpful and encouragement. But it's not even knowing tools. What the number one is it's our heart. Our heart. Our hearts wander. We get satisfied with other things. We get disappointed. Disappointed with God, disappointed with situations, or we get bored. It's interesting, this verse in Jeremiah 29, it's a promise, it's an invitation, it's a promise, and it has a condition. And it says this: you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's the condition in red. There's the promise. You will seek me and will find me. And the seeking is an invitation. Find me is the promise. But there's a condition: with all your heart. It doesn't say this is automatic. It doesn't say you'll inevitably find me the moment you seek me. No, he promises when you seek me with all your heart. Pete Gregg says this in his book, Hearing God. There is something about the posture of our seeking and the wholeheartedness of our seeking that moves the heart and attracts the attention of God. And what demonstrates wholeheartedness is a determination, desperation sometimes, and desire. So today I want to finish our whole series on hearing God by just looking at five hints and tips to enable us to be wholehearted in our seeking, to close this preaching series. Five. I'm only going to do five, and I've got about 15 minutes, so I'm going to have to speed through these. But it's a bit like the end of preach. So I've got a chocolate box. So I'm just going to grab this chocolate box. It's a bit like the end of Christmas. You know what happens at the end of Christmas with chocolate? What happens? The coconut's left. Thank you. Somebody's on the ball. There's always the ones that are left that no one really likes, do they? And, you know, you get to the end of Christmas, and if you're lucky, actually, in my family, tend to get eaten faster. But you get right to the end, and then you end up with the ones in the end, the coconut one, the nasty little toffee one as well. Do you know the toffee one, the one you feel like half your fillings are falling out when you eat? Yes, Tim's in with that. Anyway, it is a bit not quite like that today. I am going to cover some really important topics, but I'm going to eat a chocolate in the middle of a preach. Oh, that is fantastic. What is that? A strawberry kiss. Oh, that's lovely. So I'm going to pop in and out of these, just like the chocolate box. And if you're good, I might offer one or two. Okay. What helps us with our wholeheartedness? Not eating chocolate. And that's a problem, eating chocolate when you're speaking as well. Anyway, next slide. Two words here for the Word of God. Okay? The word logos and the word rhema. In the Bible, in the Greek, They use two words. It's two words are used for the word of God when we hear the word. Hear the word. It's logos and rhema. And just so you know, logos on the left here is talking about the general promises of God, his will, and his overall purposes. And it covers the written word. And the word rhema on the right is his promise to us individually, as a church, as a community. His word specifically into our lives and into the situations we're in. So rhema is much more like a vending machine. So, you know, when you put coins in a vending machine and you go, you put a coin in and you hear it rattle, it goes, that, you know, that kaplunk at the end. That's what rhema's like. It's the word hits the mark. It comes real in you. And we need to let the logos become rhema in our lives. And that's actually God's will for us. Do you know the verse? The most famous verse? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Do you know what the word means in that? It's not logos. It's rhema. So what he's saying is, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that, and it's actually proceeding is a verb which means ongoing conversation, flow of his words to us, of his promises to us. It's the rhema that we live by. We need to let this logos become rhema in our lives. How does that happen? I won't go into it because I haven't got time. But Elijah, the story of Elijah praying, which James refers to, is a fantastic example of hearing what God wants to do and praying it into being. Next one. That's one. Number two, let him have ears, let him hear. Well, this is one of the favorite sayings of Jesus. He acknowledges that sometimes it's hard to hear him. It's possible, if you think about it, why did Jesus said this 15 times to the crowd and to the disciples. So he had something to say, didn't he? Let him have your ears. So people would have been standing in front of Jesus and hearing him speak, seeing what he does, and no idea of the meaning entirely. Just going through the whole thing, because he kept saying, let him who has ears, let him hear. What does that mean? Well, it is again about the condition of our hearts. You can see it in the parable of the sower. My advice to you on this is, watch out when God wants to speak through somebody or something that is not your first choice and may be annoying or difficult. God doesn't always speak to us through what we like. I've got a story. I'm doing a leadership course at the minute, and there's one guy who speaks, has spoken, that I find so annoying. He rambles and he wanders when he's speaking. And he seems to wander around different views sometimes. And I'm like, what is he on? Oh, just get over. And yet, every time God speaks directly to me through this guy. He goes from my gut. And sometimes he wanders around theology, wanders, I think, oh, come on. He was just recently speaking about people helping people, asking us, whose problem are we trying to solve? When you see their problem versus they see their problem, and how often we dump on a person the solution when they don't even see the problem in the first place. And how God the Father doesn't do this. He asks questions. and doesn't dump answers. Just think of the Garden of Eden. Unbelievable how God asks questions when he knows everything. I felt, oh, the truth. I am so poor at this. I felt my guts spilling out. And yet the person who God was using was the most annoying, a most different person, and a very awkward package for me. God often tests our heart by using people from a different stream and a different packaging to challenge us. Let him who have ears, let him hear. Keep our hearts soft. I feel like I'm going to eat another chocolate, but I won't. Next one. Oh, yes, this one. This is another chocolate. Are you ready? Being wholehearted is hard because we feel that the challenge of being wholehearted and is that we worry is how do we know this is God or not? And especially when we go to God when we're desperate. How often do we go to God when we're a bit crushed, a bit not knowing what to do? We rush to God and then we think, ah, but then how do I know this is God? It's more of a risk. And it is. When you're desperate, you don't, you're looking for an answer. You want an answer. So how do you know it's God? And therefore you pull back from being wholehearted because you think, well, I'm not sure then. But we have two safeguards. And I just want you to have a look at this rope bridge. I think it's in Ireland, actually. Is that right? Yes, I'm getting the nod from the Northern Irish, Southern Ireland. It's Northern Ireland. I can't believe it. I thought it was Southern Ireland. Where is it? The North Coast. This is in the North Coast of Northern Ireland. But it's a rope called a rope bridge. And if you want to, I want you to imagine walking across that bridge. What is vital is the two ropes to the left and right, isn't it? Can you imagine trying to go across that bridge without those two ropes on either side? You probably would either go very slowly or fall into the sea. Those two ropes are crucial for your safety and your speed. We have these two ropes, guardrails in our lives when we're hearing God. We have the Word of God, which is on the left. Just take that for the moment. And we have the community, the body of Christ we're in. The Word of God is the backstop, which the Word of God demonstrates his character, his nature, his ways. We don't use it nitpicking people because as soon as we hear an experience, if it's not ours, we often try and eliminate it. I'm not talking about that, but I'm saying at the final point, there is God's Word, which is vital. At the same time, we have the community on the right-hand side, the body of Christ, especially those around us who care about us, that can weigh what you've heard, help shape it and enhance it. Both of these are absolutely vital. Community and the Word are not optional. They are not optional. They are absolutely crucial. And yes, when you have them, you can move forward fast and safely. So, so important, and allow us to be wholehearted. Finally, number four. Yes. What demonstrates wholeheartedness more than anything? I have actually got this within a meter of me. Can anybody guess what it is? It's not the chocolates, I just want to warn you. I have got what is the most important thing to help you wholeheartedness before God, and it's within a short space here. Anybody guess what it is? The Bible? Of course, but it's not the Bible, no. Say that again? Francis, I like that. When it comes to dreams, yes, because she gets the dreams I don't. I like that, because that's actually back to community. But no, it's not that. Do you know what it is? It's this. Write it down. Write it down what God says to you. It is such a simple thing. I know it sounds, you know, by the way, you can record it on a mobile. It's an alternative, don't worry. If you don't write, please record. What I'm saying is, write it down, because it is so important. You wholeheartedness means you are writing it down. You're thinking about it. The Israelites forgot what God had said within a very short space of time. Look at them going across the Red Sea, the greatest miracle ever. How long did it take before they started complaining and moaning at leadership? It wasn't very long. What have they done? They've forgotten what God had done and said. So important that we write down. Does not the Bible give you a bit of a clue how much was written down what God said? Look at it. Pages of it. Pages. Now, I know some of you, we just need to record, but do hear this. A way of engaging is so important, is to write down what he says. I believe it's part of the logos becoming rhema in your life, is you write it down. It can be start as a promise, and then you write it down. And that moment you say, I want this now to become my rhema in my life. You're saying something to God. You're saying, I want this word. I want to hear it. I want to hear it in my heart, not just as a written thing. And it starts with writing it down. Please write down what God says. It helps also others weigh it with you later. Even if it's a picture, a drawing. By the way, drawings are, I just start drawing something if I feel there's a picture. I actually remember better looking at a picture, although it's often what God says in it through the picture that matters, but I write it, I draw it. Francis laughs at me because when I hear a preach, I sometimes struggle to write prose and I just draw something because I think that's what I remember. So please write it down. It shows and demos your wholeheartedness. And then finally, and this is the end, the final step, hearing God starts and ends with Jesus. In Colossians 1, we've been singing similar to this today. Colossians 1, verse 1 to 16 says this, "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What this means, as Pete Gregg says, is that hearing God begins and ends with meeting Jesus. Whatever way God communicates, and in which way, therefore, we may hear him more or less, all of it comes through Jesus and points back to him. Nothing can replace, and nothing matters more than a personal encounter with him. It is Christ himself, is the word that became flesh. So please, hear those hints and tips about being wholehearted in hearing him, but remember, all of it is about him. So even when he speaks to us, he's calling us out of darkness. Even when he speaks to us, he's showing you more of who he is. It's also, he's calling us to draw near to him. He's changing us. When he speaks to us, he's changing us into being more like him. He speaks to us and he speaks forgiveness to us, which we desperately need and to express to others. He speaks to us for our relationship, in our relationship with us. We are walking in as friends with him. That is the New Testament. And he's also speaking to us to commission us to go into the world and desperately help people who are desperately needing to hear God themselves. All of it is for him and it returns to him. Hearing God starts and ends with meeting Jesus. Let's do it, church. Let's keep hearing him. Let's remember these words we've heard, the encouragements, the tools, everything, those hints and tips, if you want to go through them again, they're there to help you. But most of all, let's hear him, because it's all about him. And I'm going to pray. So if you'd all like to stand up, and then I'm going to finish, and I will offer some chocolates out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, so much that you have spoken to us into our darkness. And I pray for anybody here who doesn't know you, who would say, actually, in the end of the day, I don't know God. I don't hear him. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would help them turn to you right now and say, please come into my life. I pray, Father, for anybody here who's not filled with the Spirit, who wants that, Lord, I pray that they would step forward. But Lord Jesus, thank you that this whole series is on hearing you and becoming more like you and walking with you and the relationship that you've given us. Lord Jesus, I pray all of us will grow and mature and get more and more excited and also growing in our relationship with you, that allows us to hear you clearer, more often, and most of all, be transformed into your likeness. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the speakers, their passion, their love, everything they've been, and the course we're doing. Thank you for it all. But Lord, we turn to you and we say, it is for you. And we want to know you more. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us with our hearts. Help us with our wholeheartedness. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. I just feel there's somebody here who is actually looking at the North Sea, and you see a fog in the water. And in your mind, you want to be on the West Coast looking at an incredibly glassy sea. And I believe God is saying, that is what I want to do. Be encouraged. I think he wants to come and give somebody some clarity today, some depth so they can see deep, much deeper than just the surface of the word. They can go deep into the word, because when you're on the West Coast, you can see the bottom very quickly. Come, Lord Jesus. I feel there's somebody here with disappointment. When I was talking about wholeheartedness and why we struggle, I mentioned disappointment. Disappointment is one of the biggest barriers to hearing God. We shut down when we're disappointed. I just feel God is saying, come to me with your disappointment. Come to me. And if you need help, get someone to help you. Remember the guardrails. You need community and you need the word of God. The community. The word of God. Community can help us in disappointment. Sometimes it's just being utterly real before God. I feel today there's at least one, maybe two people need to move on disappointment. Don't ignore it. Disappointment makes the heart sick. Don't sit in it. Can I encourage you? Come out. Go before God. Ask somebody to help you. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for your work in our lives. Thank you that you speak to us. Amen.